Thank you very, very much. Good morning, everybody. While people are entering or leaving, I'll just introduce myself. I am from Australia, and talking about the Australian experience, a lot of what you've heard in the previous talks has been really good. You've already covered most of the landscape and the issues and the sorts of things that we've covered in Australia. So what I think you're going to find is much the same thing, but possibly with a different flavour and a different emphasis. We have our farming systems, there's an Australian landscape. In our situation, climate variability is very, very important and drives decision making very, very strongly. And so what you'll find in the discussions, that really, really drives the way in which we've put the emphasis into our modelling systems. The symposium title, the long title that we were told about, using weather, crop modelling and all that sort of thing, I'd like to just maybe reword that. So in the Australian experience, what we've found is we've looked at ways to bring together a whole lot of stuff from a whole lot of people to help modern farmers with today's problems. And that sort of idea of collaboration and a lot of people working together to achieve things is really important. So what I want to talk about is, as one example from Australia, is the yield profit system, okay? And how it uses services for providing input data in terms of soil data and weather data, and the type of information that the yield profit system then provides to farmers, and how they might use that in a decision-making process. So, yield profit, what is it? It is, a bit like what we've just heard, an online crop production model that is designed to present grain growers. So we're talking about grain growers, predominantly dry land, wheat, barley, but we also have some irrigated farmers as well, with real-time information about their crops. Okay? It generates simulations and reports. So when they run yield profit, they get a PDF that is a report with several maps and graphs and text that helps them with their decision-making processes, both by themselves, but usually with their agronomist. It provides them and their advisors with information to forecast yields, but also manage risk. This is where the climate issue comes in, and that's risk due to variability in their climate and whatever soil water that they have stored in the soil at the beginning of the season, and therefore make informed decisions about nitrogen and irrigation decisions. So you can see the synergy with the previous talks, but it also helps them to assess whatever changes they might want to make to sowing dates or varieties at the beginning of the season. And for farmers or advisors looking a little bit longer term, start to have discussions about possible impacts of climate change. So if we first need to step back and just think for a second about how farmers make decisions, because that tells you how they're going to use a system like this. A farmer, when they come to make decisions, will be influenced by a lot of impacts, aspects of the farmer themselves. So there are their values, there's their stress level at the time, and if you've been through 3 years of drought, that may be high. What I haven't written there is whether you've talked on speaking terms with your bank manager. Things like those, your age, your beliefs, your environment, all impact the way in which the farmer's going to address the problem. They then usually work through a pattern of experience where they'll make decisions based upon their intuition, which will change over time as they analyse their experience. As they go through each season and they learn, then they will change their intuition and therefore the rules of thumb or the things that they use to make decisions. Their risk profile may change and all of those sorts of things may happen. So where does something like yield profit fit in? That fits in over on the side over there, in the analysis. So just as they may get experience through cropping each year and learning about what worked and what didn't work, they can do the same thing with a virtual paddock with yield profit as part of their learning process. Just as they might use currently simple models, or they might use leaf test results, they might use advice from their agronomist and their experience, or soil tests. All of that goes into their analysis of their understanding of the situation they're working in. So, let's step back again. So what goes into yield profit? Just as we've seen with the other systems, yield profit requires weather data, it requires soil data to define the environment. But it also needs some agronomic information, which the farmer will know if they're he's working with his paddock, so he will know what variety, he knows what date he's sown, he knows what paddock history, what he did in the field last year. He'll know fertiliser rates and dates, irrigation rates and dates. He will know the starting soil moisture by working with his agronomist to know the sort that they'll actually sort out and measure moisture at the beginning of the season and their nitrogen levels. All of that gets fed into yield profit. We then use the APSIM production systems model, which is Australia's most frequently used model. And the yield profit system talks to a server that we in CSIRO operate, which then sends back the information to yield profit to generate a report, which then goes out to the farmers. So that's what goes on during the season. But these reports and how well we go in actually simulating those trials, and that information does feed back each year as we get the results from each of those maybe 500 fields. That goes back into the development and improvement of the model and the development of the system. So that's basically how yield profit works. So let's talk about how we get some of this input data. The first example I want to talk about is the silo patch point data set. I don't know if you can see it here, but we have a map of Australia, and each of these dots here represents a point where some sort of weather information has been recorded, okay, through the Australian Bureau of Meteorology. Each of those stations may even come and go. So over time, since the late 1800s, the number of recording stations has increased in this network. Some stations come and go. But usually there is a station nearby to some of the farmers in the neighbouring town or post office or school or things like that. So what we do is we make use of this information. But the thing is that these records are patchy at times. They don't record all the weather variables that we require, and there are gaps or there are errors in that database. So what we use is the patched point data. So that's the point data. That is patched on a daily basis using climate services. So what we have for each day is the climate service using whatever data is available for the whole of Australia that is generated on about a 5 kilometre grid. And then those surfaces are generated for the main model inputs. That's rainfall, maximum, minimum temperatures, radiation, vapour pressure, evaporation, and so on. That data is used to infill and create a long-term, so that's over 100 years, record for each of those locations that is complete and quality checked. Okay? So that is what we use in our modelling. On top of that, the farmer, if they are taking records on their farm, can also in the yield profit system feed that information in. So that tells you something about the weather. But we also need to know about our soil profile. And if you would like us, there'd be nothing more than you'd love to do than go out and dig a soil pit and actually get into it and look at what the soil is and understand what's going on. And just about every farmer would love to do that as well. If you've ever been to a field day, you might have a schedule of what you're going to do. If you're talking after the soil pit, you're not going to be met. The farmers will be sitting there staring. They love this. But the problem is they don't have the time, they don't have the money and the expertise to go and do this sort of classification for each of their paddocks. That's just not going to work. But luckily, it's also not needed because we do have soils databases that we can access. So one of them is the AppSoil database that we use, which has several hundred soil profiles that have been classified across Australia in the grain-growing regions. Those soils are complete model input data sets that describe the soil hydraulic properties, things such as plant available water contents, hydraulic properties, soil organic matter and its partitioning, as well as basic soil chemistry. So each of those is available, and they're being added to repeatedly, several hundred added per year to that database. But then the farmer might want to know, okay, that's good, I've got that network, but what is actually the soil in my paddock? What can I learn and how can I pick an appropriate soil for this particular field? So we have an iPad application, which is Soil Map. The farmer can go out with their agronomist and sit in the field using the GPS, work out where they are, and within a soil, within the Australian soil maps, and look at the profiles in your area and nearby, and have a discussion and work out, is this paddock the same as my paddock over there? Compare that to the information in, they can compare to photos, have discussions with their agronomist also about the issues in that soil, learn about their soil, and this is important, on the process to getting to your profit, learning on the way, but also from accessing the AppSoil database that's also built into this system, they can access all of those model parameters that you can see here, and they can look at them and they can adjust them. So if they know that, oh yes, my soil here is the same as that paddock over there, but my salt levels at depth are a bit higher here, they can copy that soil from their other paddock, paste it into this paddock here, adjust things with their measurements, and then upload that so that Yield Profit can then use their parameterisation for that field. Okay, so we have all of the farmers' records and their inputs and knowledge of what they've done. We have estimates of the soil properties, we have some climate information. So we now have everything that we need to go and run one of these models and do something. So the question is, what can I do with that? So I'll just go through very, very quickly and just go through at a glance the types of reports. So remember, they can generate reports whenever there's something, a decision point coming up, or if they can see that there's a large cold front coming across Australia and that it's going to rain in a few days, they then usually what you find is that the servers all light up and many reports are suddenly getting developed as the farmers are starting to talk to their agronomists about making decisions. So I'll just go through quickly. Yield Profit is a web-based system, so people who subscribe to that can go in and, as I said, specify their particular paddock. I'm using the term paddock field in this context over here, if you want to convert from Australian. They can pick which weather station and whether they have their own weather data and their soil types and so on. They specify that into there, and then from another menu, choose to generate a report for today. And those reports are kept and they will build up a library of reports over the season. One type of report might be a sowing opportunity report. In this case, what the farmer will do is generate a report for a given wheat variety, in this example, for a given soil type in their field, with the given climate, with the soil moisture conditions and soil nitrogen levels that they've got, and get some summary information such as this. So what we have here is for this variety, sowing date across the bottom, and the median yield that they're likely to get for that variety for a range of sowing dates. And what we can see is for this variety here, the median yield is highest in early May. They can compare that in this report here with the probability of a light or medium or severe frost event around flowering. So with delaying sowing date, they're delaying the probability of frost, okay? But by delaying sowing date, they're increasing the probability of a low, medium or high heat shock event. Okay, by going later, you're pushing more into summer. And what they can do is look at trade-offs. What is good about this example here is that your optimum planting date is also around the time that you're minimising your frost and your heat shock. So farmers can go through this and evaluate different varieties and start to decide, when should I plant and target? Of course, it may or may not rain, and that idea may go out the window, but at least you can start to have those sorts of discussions and be ready. Once you have sown, you can generate reports that you can keep track of what the model is doing over time and whether you're happy with its ability to predict development. So these here are having trouble. We've got growth stages. These are all in Zadox stages. Over time, the likely dates that you're going to reach different growth stages, and if model is working appropriately, also giving you estimates into the future of when you're likely to reach flowering and maturity, or other stages at which you might be wanting to bring in some sort of agronomic intervention. not only is it going to tell you where you are in terms of development and give you an estimate of that, but we also get estimates from the model of what your current water availability to growing roots is. So from sowing, as the roots get deeper, the amount of water they can access increases. And what we have here is we can see that as it's going through time, there's still water remaining in the profile and accessible to roots. Similarly, there's a certain amount of soil nitrogen that is accessible to roots. And we can convert that around and actually, from the model, find out whether there were likely periods in which there was water stress or nitrogen stress in the period leading up to today. So you can start watching the crop for stress periods that you may or may not want to manage. If you know that there's some water there and you're trying to work out, well, what might happen in the future, you can also get it as part of that report, estimates of where the water might be in the profile. So this is depth and water content. The line is the estimate of the current rooting depth. And we can see that in this particular simulation, if the roots are not likely to get much deeper, there's not much water below that it will be able to access and finish on. That's an important piece of information from a farmer to know. Well, actually, is there still more resource for the roots to mine? In this case, there isn't. And so that's a useful piece of information to forewarn farmers. So they're the sorts of reports that you can and information that you can use to try to understand what has been going on in your field up to today. Okay, so that tells you roughly an estimate of what you're doing out there today. And farmers are putting in soil water probes and doing things, they're doing their own phenology assessments and comparing that with what they're seeing from the model. And that's all good, and it helps them in that learning of what's going on. And they might even go out with a push probe and check whether that model's right, because if you don't believe it, then you're likely to go and look. And that's good. That is a wonderful thing. There's people are in that circle that I was showing before, trying to understand their process and what's going on. But really, the money comes from what happens by the end of the season and what actually makes it into the header. So the question is, how is the season going to end? And this is where you're trying to understand forecasts and likely ending to the story. Is this going to be a happy ending or not? So, as part of these reports, we also provide a range of other information. Some of it may be a map of likely seasonal climate forecasts. In this case here, this is a map of the probability of exceeding your median rainfall for a given place. And what we can see is here, slightly above median rainfall. In most of these areas here, your probability of exceeding median rainfall is less than 50%. Farmers can start to look at that. But still, median rainfall, if your median rainfall for the next couple of months is next to nothing anyway, really, what does this mean? So it really comes back to context of where you are. And so what you need to do is simulate those outcomes. But this helps us. One of the ways we try to put some information around climatic risk and trying to explain to farmers what may or may not happen and the range of possible outcomes, the sorts of things Tom was talking about when he was talking about for different years you're having different yield potentials, we do this. We run a simulation where we might start when they did their soil sampling and they had their soil moisture measurements and they had their soil nitrogen measurements that they took with their agronomist. We simulate from that day through sowing, through all of the growth and development of crop right up to today. That's the day we generate the report. So that's the simulation up to what might be happening now. But then we use that long-term climate information to predict, well, what would happen from now on if the year finished like it did in 1983 or 1916 or 1937 or 1993 and so on. What if it finished in all of those other different types of experiences that we've had? And we get a range of different yields. So we start the simulation up to date with all the observed information, but finish it with over 100 different endings based upon the climate information. And that gives us some yield distributions, some probability distributions. So one of the things that we've done with our farmers and agronomists is teach them about risk, teach them about probability, and helping them to understand that and use that in decision making. So what we have here is an example of a probability of exceedance graph, or probability graph. So this green here is using, this is a report that was generated using information from a farmer and you can see these reports online. What we can see here is that there's a 100% chance of exceeding about 1.5 tonnes of wheat yield at this point. But there is a 0% chance of exceeding about 2.2 tonnes. In other words, this yield in this paddock is very much constrained. He's already, the yield potential is set by the fact that his nutrition is very low. Okay? This report also provides the farmer with the yield distribution under optimal end management. And what he can see is that in the worst years, that yield level of about 2 tonnes is not changed. But if he was to have a very good year, the potential is actually for 6 or 7 tonnes. So depending on his climate outlook, there's potentially a 4-tonne difference between what he's going to get if he does nothing or under optimal management. So the farmer has got a likely yield distribution from what we know already, but then some information, well, what happens if you actually change your management? And that can be enough for people to go, okay, maybe I need to think about some nitrogen fertiliser scenarios. And they can generate a range of scenarios by generating a nitrogen report. Once again, we have a probability chart here, and we can see for in the scenario one is their base scenario. The yield distribution goes from, I'm having trouble looking across here, but from 2 to 4 tonnes. But under the two fertiliser scenarios, which might be, well, what if I actually top dressed today, or what if I waited until another week or two and top dressed then, we get a different set of yield distributions. We can see that there's some difference. You've changed the distribution in a whole stack of years. This chart here shows the same data, but we compare the difference between the baseline scenario and the two scenarios that the farmer wants to look at. And we can see here that in 60% of years, either of those scenarios would increase their yield by about a tonne. Okay, so this is for a different site to the previous graph, so don't try to interpret the two together. But a farmer then might sort of say, okay, so if I was to top dress or do something with either of those scenarios, there's a 60% chance, I think, that I would be 1 tonne better off. And then they can use that with their understanding of the likely climate outlooks and work out and their financial status, whether they have the machinery, whether they've got the funds to do this, and think about whether it is worth actually trying that on their farm. Have that discussion with their agronomist, all of the other bits of information, and bring that in. But they've got some sort of idea that accounts for the risk. Sometimes you're making decisions, and it's not about how you might go about increasing your yields to make best use of a good year. Sometimes it's the other way. It is the, do I just shut up shop and write the crop off now? If you're in a very bad year, sometimes the better option might be to instead bale the hay and sell it as fodder rather than trying to persevere and take the crop through to yield. The model, because it is actually growing and predicting the crop production up to today, has an estimate of the current standing biomass in the field, from which we can then calculate estimates of returns if you were to cut and bale that for hay, and we can compare that to the yield distribution your likely income for yield if you were to persevere and try and see it through to the end of the season. So mid-season in a bad year, this is the sort of decisions that farmers are needing to make. Okay, so it's not just all about yield, sometimes it's about other decisions as well. So that is the do I just shut up shop sort of option. So I've gone through a range of reports that I've spoken about. And I've talked about a range of uses and the climate variability and how we use this to get some estimates of what may or may not be happening and how that the probabilistic approach, communicating that with farmers and everything has been really important. Where I want to finish, though, is just talking about where all of this comes from, because I think there's an important message in all of this. I showed you this diagram before where we have the silo weather data and the various soil data packages feeding into yield profit, and you have APSIM. You have all this agronomic information and information flying around. What's very important is that there are a lot of people involved in doing this. That, for example, in the silo weather data, you know, we have the Australian Bureau of Meteorology, and but it was the state government department that made that data available to us in the Patch Point data set and provides servers for people in Australia to access that information and use that in various packages. And they make that available, and that's wonderful. Similarly with AppSoil, you've got government organisations such as CSIRO and state government departments, and importantly with industry funding to fund all of that, to make that data freely available for people to use. And so a lot of work has gone into that. AppSIM itself as a production systems model over the last quarter of a decade has had a lot of information and support from various state and federal governments, universities, collaborators and industry funding, and many people that are feeding that information in. So there are even model collaborators over here in the US that are feeding information into those models to improve those models, and all of those lessons are feeding back into this system, so farmers over there are getting that on a year-to-year basis. But what's really important as well is that the agronomic information here, we have the farmer working with an advisor, and those advisors, every year as we are, when we meet to help improve this system, some of those advisors join us in those meetings and talk through their stories of what they did that year, the lessons that they learned, and where they think we need to go. It's worth knowing as well that the Yield Profit System, the lead agency there is a farmer group. So the Birchip Cropping Group in Victoria take the lead in actually hosting, developing, supporting and pushing this to farmers, not just in their area, but right around Australia. So it is the actual Yield Profit System, the main driver, is a farmer group working in collaboration with us, but also getting industry funding from places such as GRDC, which is our Grains Research and Development Corporation. So in that case there, farmer levies are being put aside by regional farmers to help fund this and improve this. And of course, all of the information that we gather from the farmers and the advisors and their use of reports also feeds back into improving these systems here. So in many ways, the main players in working out where this will go are really the farmers, the farming groups and the advisors, really pushing what is important and where things should go. And I think that's an important lesson in terms of that a whole stack of information being pulled together, but being to be relevant and try to tackle the issues that people are interested in. That grassroots level sort of driving of the system, I think that's really important. Thank you. Serious.
Neil, at day one at sowing, you want information on the soil, you make some soil sampling. My question is the depth that you consider and how important, how sensitive is this information for all predictions.
Okay. The farmers, the ability of farmers and their agronomists to sample sowing moistures will vary from region to region, partly upon the technology and the soil type that they've got, but we usually say go as deep as you can. And sometimes that might be to several feet, but up our way with hydraulic systems, they might be going down to 2 metres. The importance of that varies from season to season. Sensitivity analyses have shown that if you have less than 200 millimetres of in-crop rainfall, the sowing nitrogen levels are really, really important. They are the number one determinant of yield, and that's right across from the wheat belt in the northern eastern Australia right to the south and in the west. It doesn't matter. Growing season rainfall determines which are the two main drivers, and they will either be the starting moisture or the starting end, which means you can actually do some smarts there and think about that. If you know that you have a full profile of moisture, then that tells you, actually, you know what? My nitrogen is going to be more important. I will put extra effort into that this year. If you know that you don't have a lot of moisture and that your seasonal outlook's not so good, maybe it's the other way around. Think, actually, I need to work out if I have enough moisture here to actually get a minimum yield and get a return on my money. And so there's one farmer in South Australia who said, I only need to know my soil moisture level, basically, have I got 52 millimetres of water? So why is that? And he said, well, that's what I need to get my money back on all of my planting costs. So what is important will vary from year to year, but yes, we usually say as deep as possible. There are all sorts of data quality issues when you've got hundreds of people taking soil samples and all that sort of stuff, and that has to be an ongoing sort of discussion. But that's part of the lessons that farmers need to learn. And when you come back and they talk about the uncertainty in their measurements or just how much nitrogen was the driver of their yield in this year, then they learn from that and go through that learning cycle. So, there's another question up the back.
What is the diversity of farm sizes, field sizes and farm sizes?
Okay. The people who are more likely to use this will be the larger farmers. And you're saying farm size, I can't tell you, but we're talking large. So anecdotally, I know one story out in Western Queensland where my colleagues had to observe a record attempt, a Guinness World Record attempt for the largest area of wheat sown in a day, and the paddock, the tractor at night was disappearing over the horizon and then coming back. So it's usually fairly larger than where these guys, so, and this is where the decision making, rather than your stuff where you're talking high input, lots of management decisions, ours is probably the other way, large areas, low yields, big variability, and managing that and trying to work out, is this the season where I'm going to grow a 1.5 tonne wheat crop or a 2.5 tonne wheat crop? So very different to what we're talking about today.